God. We just want to love on you and worship you. Praise God. And I appreciate that. I appreciate what we feel here in this house. Let me go over quick two things so that we can keep this on our heart and mind, because it's a big deal for us as a church. One is Eternal Recovery. This Friday night, 5 o'clock, it will be downstairs. And then Brother Durrell and Sister Edward talk to you about the transition that we've already been talking about for the changes that are taking place downstairs with that. And then also, a week from Monday is our Memorial Day picnic. And so I will all have it posted online as far as the address, as well as paper in your hand on Sunday. But please mark that. We want everyone to be a part of that. So it's Park in Blue Springs. You will have the address this Sunday, and that will go from pretty much from 12 to 5. And we want everybody to remember to bring food, okay? We usually have plenty, but we don't want to risk anything. So bring food. Bring your favorite dish. Try to feed at least two families. So, you know, bring your casseroles. Bring, you know what to bring. Just bring it, all right? Just bring it. Praise God. Amen. We're going to have a delightful time. Hope we can play some games and some sports. And bring your cards and your dominoes and Connect Fours, whatnot. And we're going to have a great time fellowshipping with one another. Praise God. I am so excited about tonight's lesson. We set the foundation the past 2 weeks looking at the covenants, looking at how to interpret Scripture correctly to make sure that we are interpreting Scripture literally, and understanding that the church and Israel is separate. And it's just so it worked out that our Sunday school lesson was hitting on the same points, that the church and Israel are two distinct groups of people. Very, very important to understand that. And we will kind of reiterate that throughout our lessons. But what we're going to get in today is paramount. And everything, of course, that we're talking about, they're all connected. So we got to try to put this puzzle together. Have you ever put a puzzle together? Okay, and so you have a puzzle, you have the box. Usually it helps you out when you have the box there. But a lot of pieces are there, and you have to put all the pieces together so that it can come one picture. And a lot of times in prophecy, people have just taken one area of the puzzle, and that's why sometimes you say, well, why is there so many different belief systems and all this? Because you can get caught up on maybe one particular scripture, section of scripture, an area that even Jesus spoke about, and you say, well, look at all this and see how this means that. And that's fine. That's good. But it's still a part of a larger group of puzzle pieces, right? And so hopefully as we continue to study this, we'll go back and put the whole picture together and understand where we are as a church as it relates to end time prophecy. So let's go to the book of Daniel, chapter 9, and we will begin at verse 1. And what I want to do first is I'm going to read the entire chapter, okay? I'm going to read the entire chapter, and then we're going to kind of break it down. Is that all right? So we are going to be in Daniel, chapter 9, verse 1. Just follow along as quick as you can. Brother Hannah, I know you're busy, but can you also turn on the back one as well? Daniel chapter 9 and verse 1. Should I have the better one? Praise God. A little background. The Israelites are in captivity. Fact, we'll do a scripture first. Go to Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 10. Let's go there first. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 10. Now, the book of Jeremiah is a very depressing book. Let's say it that way. When I say depressing in the context of understanding where Israel was, this is where finally the Lord had to bring judgment because of all of their disobedient actions. And they're continuously serving false gods and false idols. And so Jeremiah is lamenting and trying to get the people to repent. They refuse to repent. And this is the punishment that God breaks down to Jeremiah to speak to the Israelites concerning how long this punishment is going to be. Okay, so Jeremiah 29 verse 10 says, "Thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years, very important number, 70 years be accomplished, whereat? At Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you in causing you to return to this place." Context, Jeremiah was trying to get them to repent. Judgment's coming. We've been disobedient. Okay, they wouldn't listen. All right, it's been said, you are going to be going to Babylon. You're going to captivity. Look how long he said he would be there for. How long? 7 years. What she said, right? At that marker, then we're going to allow there to be a return back to this place. This place being the land of Canaan. All right? So now, skipping now over back to Daniel chapter 1. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus of the seed of Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. We just read that, didn't we? So he was studying scripture, and he says, the prophet, that he would accomplish what? 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. I set my face unto the Lord to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and the mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. We have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Okay? So all this, he's repenting. He's repenting. Neither have we hearkened to the servants of thy prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings and our princes and our fathers and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces as at this day, to the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and unto all Israel that are near and that are far off, through all the countries whither thou hast driven them because of their trespass, that they have trespassed against thee. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To the Lord our God belong mercy and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord God, to walk in his laws, which he set before us, his servant, the prophets. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even thy departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. And he that confirmed his words, which he spake against us, and against our judges that judge us, by bringing us to a great evil. For under the whole heaven hath not been done as hath been done upon Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil is come upon us, yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquity and understand thy truth. Therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all his works, which he doeth, for we obeyed not his voice. And now, O Lord our God, hast thou brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and hast gotten thee renown. As at this day we have sinned, we have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from thy city, Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because of our sins, for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem, and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. Now, therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline thy ear and hear. Open thine eyes and behold our desolation and the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercies. Again, he recognizes it will be the mercies of God, not their righteousness, that would change his mind. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do, defer not for thine own sake. O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. And while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people, Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God. Yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even a man, or the man Gabriel. Now we understand that Gabriel is who? Gabriel is an angel. He is one that brings tidings. He's a messenger angel that comes and speaks, whom I had seen in the vision. At the beginning, he calls to fly swiftly, touch me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplication, the commandment came forth. and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. Here we go. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the Prince shall come, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and the overspreading of abominations. He shall make it desolate even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Now you can already see there's a lot to cover, right? So let's slow down and let's go and give this to you. Going back to Daniel 2, 9, verse 2. If you're going to understand end time prophecy, you're going to have to first enter through the door of Daniel's 70 weeks. Now, when we say in our English language we are thinking of a week period, we're thinking of what? A 7-day period, right? If I say I'll be there next week, what are you thinking? Next what? Next Wednesday, right? Today's Wednesday. I say it'll be the next week, Joe. That means next Wednesday. That's the English language. But that is not the case here in the context of the scripture. Very important. When Daniel was praying for the answer on what we will be looking at is the next step concerning his people. Remember, when he initiated this prayer, he is speaking specifically about what Jeremiah had already prophesied about. He's praying to God and said, now, God, I've been studying the scripture. I have been praying. I have been fasting. And I realize that the 70-year mark is about to come. Because Daniel was at a very young age when he was brought up out of the land of Israel. And so he knew, according to Jeremiah, Lord, there is supposed to be some mercy shining forth upon your people. And so what happens? When you want to read the word of God and you hear a word of prophecy and you see it coming near, what are you supposed to do? Follow his example. And he went to praying. And not only did he go to praying, he went to fasting. If you are going to have prophecy revealed to you, you must be in the spirit with prayer and fasting to allow your heart to be ready to receive what thus saith the Lord. So it's very worth noting that this word week comes from the Hebrew word Shabuah, which literally means seven. Now, if it were 7 days, like we would read it in the English language, well then from that point on it would only be 490 days. Where 490 days would not be enough days to fulfill all that was in the prophecy. 490 days is a little bit over a year and a half. So that's not accurate. But I still must be biblical, right? Other scripture reference the fact, according to Genesis 29, 26, 28, that the same period, it says, the Bible says that Jacob worked for Rachel for a week. We read it in the Bible, English, it says 7 years. But the word is Shabuah. That's why it's very important to understand that the Bible was not written in English. It was written in Hebrew and Greek and a little bit of Aramaic so that you can go back to the original context and make sure that you are reading the Word of God correctly. So we have established, it's very important to establish, that the word week here in the Scripture is not 7 days, but 7 years. I want to say 7 years. Okay. Now, we also understand that the tribulation was to last for a week. And everybody knows the tribulation lasts for how long? 7 years. You following me? So we're going step by step here. We understand that he's speaking in terms of a week period is actually 7 years. Now, who was this Daniel of, quote unquote, Daniel's 70 weeks? He was a wise man from the first time we see him mentioned in Scripture. He made up in his mind that he was not going to defile himself with the king's portion when he was taken from his homeland. And when Nebuchadnezzar wanted them to eat a certain meat, he says, no, I am not going to defile myself. I'm not going to drink that wine. So we understand that this was a very holy man who was dedicated to the purpose and the will of God in his life. You would say he was someone who studied scripture, and in particular, we do again find him studying the book of Jeremiah. So years later, in the middle of Israel's captivity, he knew that through his studies, the time would come when they were supposed to return back home. It was getting a little bit closer. Now notice we read his prayer. He was repenting, wasn't he? He wasn't going, God, how come you're so mean? How come you allowed us to be here for this long? He was repenting. He was making acknowledgement. God, from the law of Moses, you said, if we would not obey your law, if we would not serve your commandments, this is exactly what we would get. So it has happened. But Lord, understand, I'm repenting for my own sin, and I'm repenting for the sins of your people. And what did he say? He said, for thine own sake. Do what you said you were going to do. Bring your people back. Now, in looking at this study of Scripture, we know again he was a man of prayer, and that he was not a, say this way, he was not a dummy, okay? He was a scholar in our terms. From that young age, he was seasoned amongst the Babylonian people and educated in languages and signs and times. So when we're talking about the one who received this vision, we're not talking about some ignorant person on the backside of the mountain that kind of got this vision from Moroni or something. I'm going to go there. But he is someone that was a learned person, a very educated person. And he understood that we were disobedient and judgment comes, but he also understood some more things. That the area of disobedience they had, they would be judged by their disobedience. The Israelites were commanded to allow there to be a season of rest in their land as farmers. That you're supposed to work the land for a certain amount of time, 7 years. Now, they did not do that. So the Lord now came. Now, go real quick to Ezekiel. I'm slow down. It's Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 25. Leviticus 25. And verse 3. 6 years thou shalt sow thy field, and 6 years thou shalt prune thy vineyard, and gather in the fruit thereof. But in the seventh year shall be a Sabbath of rest unto the Lord, a Sabbath for the Lord. Thou shalt neither sow thy field nor prune thy vineyard. That was a commandment to allow it to rest. But guess what? 490 times they did not obey that. 490 times they did not obey that. So now, as Gabriel shows up, he's saying, yes, Daniel, I'm going to let you know. Yeah, you're going to go back. You're going to go back home pretty soon. But I'm not only going to talk to you about what's going to happen in the immediate as it comes to prophecy in your mind concerning the children of God. Right now, because of your prayer and your sincerity and your praying and your fasting, I'm not only going to reveal the immediate, I'm going to reveal to you what's going to happen long term with the children of Israel. And that's the context of what's happening. Do you feel that happening right here? So Daniel, yeah, you're going to go back home pretty soon, but there is a 490-year mark period that I'm going to talk to you about that is in connection with the disobedience that your people have been giving me all this time. According to 2 Chronicles 36 and verse 21, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbath. For as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. A score in the English language is 20. So 60 plus, how many is that? 70 years. 70 years. Okay? Now, they violated that, like I said, for 490 years. Dan is repenting on their behalf, and he says, here's a total of 490-year period that we're going to be looking at.
the long-term area. Go to verse 24 of Daniel 9, and let's break this down. Because, again, this is the beginning of the response that Gabriel gives to him once his prayer was completed and once Gabriel showed up to talk to him. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. The 70 weeks were determined upon Daniel's people. The word determined means something decreed or marked off. That these 70 weeks were entered upon Israel and God's calendar that would give, that God would give attention to these people as a nation. So he's talking to a specific group of people. Daniel is repenting on behalf of not the church. He's repenting on behalf of the only thing and people he knows, and that is the Israelite people. And the Lord made clear that he's talking to them. Number one, this is the first point there. Who is prophecy referring to? Daniel's people, according to Daniel 9 and 24. Verse 24 says, upon thy people, upon thy holy city. We clearly understand that to be the Jewish people, Daniel's people. And that holy city is none other than the great what? Jerusalem. So to rightly divide scripture, you must conclude that Daniel's 70 weeks are determined not upon the Gentile world, but that those weeks are upon the Jewish people, which means that's not the church. He's not talking to the church. He's talking specifically to Daniel in answer to a response about when are we going back home. I'm going to give you that, but here's the rest of the story, Israel. And Daniel received that. If you don't understand this area of interpretation of prophecy, everything you move going forward is going to be in error because you have not yet completed the foundational principle that Daniel's 70 weeks was for Daniel and for Daniel's people and for Jerusalem. Everybody understand that? That's very foundational. Everyone say, Daniel's 70 weeks was for Daniel, the Israelites, and Jerusalem. All right. So what is the purpose of Daniel's 70 weeks? Verse 24, A, or point A, is to finish the transgression. The Hebrew word that is translated finish means to forbid or to restrain, and transgression means to revolt or rebellion by specific or definite act of sin. You couldn't have been more rebellious than the Jewish people rejecting Jesus Christ as their Messiah. For 2,000 years, they have lived in rebellion against God by rejecting Jesus Christ. Their transgression is not finished and won't be until they repent and cease to rebel against Jesus Christ. So it's going to be a scenario set up where they're going to have to recognize that they were wrong in their judgment concerning Jesus Christ. And the Bible says every knee will have to bow and every tongue will have to confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord of all. So there's something that's going to happen during this 490-year period that will turn the Israelites' heart back to the true Messiah. That's the purpose behind it. One of the many purposes behind it. To finish the transgression. So when they believe on him as their Messiah, as the one that comes and rescues them, transgression will be finished, and this will complete the final week of Daniel's prophecy. Look at Isaiah chapter 53. This is their what? This is their rejection. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and we shall see him. There is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did not esteem him. Stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by and with his stripes, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord have laid on him the iniquity of us
all. And he was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, a sheep before her shearer is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people, was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth. Last verse. Yet it was the pleasure of the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. That is a rejection story of the Messiah. Isaiah prophesied about it. Okay? So, we know there's sin there. Now, Zechariah prophesies there's going to be repentance. That's Zechariah 12 and 10. And I will pour upon the house of David, upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. Right? Say, no, they pierced Jesus Christ. They shall look on him, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and he shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. So Israel will come to a place, and they're going to repent of that action that they did. And then there's going to be the end of that rebellion. Isaiah 29 and verse 20. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant. Last week, right? Our covenant. So he brings it up again with them, said, Lord, my spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. Prophetic word concerning the end of rebellion. Their heart is going to be turned around, but the period of the Daniel 7 weeks is to bring them to that place. That's to finish the transgression. The next thing Gabriel says is to make an end of sin. End is means to close up, to stop, to restrain, like a criminal being locked up. Throughout the Old Testament, you can see Israel walking in sin and serving other gods. Time and time again, God would send prophets to warn them of the coming judgment that would come if they would not turn their hearts back to them. And Hosea said it would happen. But guess what? When the Messiah comes back, he is going to put an end to sin. So that is a purpose of the 70 weeks. Also, to make reconciliation for iniquity. He is going to bring all things back to its proper standing. He is going to be the one that stands between, praise God, the enemy, and of course God. And he meshes them together. What did Jesus say? He said he is the mediator. And then Gabriel says to bring everlasting righteousness. Bring, that is like to usher in. So these 490 years, when finally completed to its full extent, will usher in a place of everlasting righteousness that the children of Israel are going to be able to enjoy. A king of righteousness will reign. Look at Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 20. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 20. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. No playing games then. Isaiah 11, verse 1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, and the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf will be with the young lion, and the fatting together, and the little child shall lead them. This is speaking of that time period where Jesus Christ is the Messiah, literally reigning here on this earth, and the 490 years is ushering this in. And the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. Okay. That is the 1,000-year reign.
And so the purpose of Daniel 70 weeks, the Bible lets us know, it's a lead up to these things that I've been covering. The purpose of those things that God is going to bring, he is going to bring all the things that we're going to talk about, is for these purposes, okay? And that is, again, to repeat it real quick, that is to make an end to sin, that is to finish transgression, to make reconciliation for iniquity. Here we just read to bring everlasting righteousness, and then it is to seal up the vision and the prophecy. So everything that's in the Old Testament, he said, I'm going to wrap all of that up. I'm going to bring you to that point where everything in the Old Testament that I prophesied about, every jot, every tittle, I'm going to bring it all together. I'm going to seal up all those visions and those prophecies. When the kingdom of righteousness is ushered in at the end of the last week, according to Daniel 9:24, Christ returns and he wins the battle of Armageddon. All right? Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 8. Remember, all of this is preparing Israel to repent. And we're going to go in detail about the Antichrist moving in and bringing that false Messiah to them. And they worshiped. They believed in him. But guess what? He turns them at a 3.5-year period. And then they reject him. So therefore, he judges them very hardly. And he goes after Israel very hard. Israel needs a Savior at this point. And in that day, shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of where? Who lives there? Okay. I'm going to keep hitting that. I'm going to keep hitting it. I'm going to keep driving it home. And he that is feeble among them that day shall be as David. And the house of David shall be as God. And the angel of the Lord before them. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against the church. Does it say the church? What does it say? Who's he talking about? It's a church here. He's not talking about the church. This Messiah is coming back for his people in Jerusalem. Okay? His special people. Look at chapter 14 and verse 2. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. A lot of negativity happening. That last week is looking bad for them. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. The Messiah is going to show up on the scene. All right. So, sin will be no more. It will be dormant. Prophecy will be fulfilled at this point. And there will be no need for prophets to correct sin and plead with Israel. Neither will there be any need to prophesy concerning anything in the future. Because seal up means to stop, to cease. When Jesus is present, it's fulfilled. All prophecy is fulfilled because all prophecy is about him. So when he shows up, it's done. And then he's going to anoint the most holy. They are going to say, that is our king. And he will be anointed as the king of Israel. Now, details. There are three distinct periods within the 70 weeks. So you have the total 490 weeks taking place. But we're going to see here Daniel, it's broken down to him. And we're going to look at that, all right? So look at verse number 25. So it says, now know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem, we will talk about that in a little while, unto the Messiah the Prince shall be, first section here, is 7 weeks. 7 weeks is 49 years. So there's going to be something that takes place from the commandment to rebuild Jerusalem and the walls and the temple that initiates this time period. And that first section, so to speak, is 7 years. Okay? Now, the next one is the 62-week period, which all of this goes, at this point, consecutively. There is no gap. No gap in these first sections, okay? And then, trust me, I'm break this down. Don't get confused yet. It says, after that 7 weeks, and then 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troubled times. And then it says, so that's the second one, the 62-week period. Then it says, very important word, very important word. All right, go to the next. All right, right there. And what's the next word after and? After. And after. after. So after the 62 weeks, which is already after the first 7 weeks. So it's already 69 consecutive weeks. After that 69 weeks, it says, shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood unto the end of war, and desolations are determined. Now, again, I'm going to break that down a little bit more. This is still more of that high-level view. But I want to make sure you understand there are three sections of Daniel's 70 weeks. And then the third one is going to be verse 27. So we already said after, right? The 62 weeks. Now in verse 27. He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. Now what I'm going to teach you here is that the 7 weeks was all consecutive once that time clock started, which I'm going to teach you what that time clock was. And then from that time clock, that 7 year period, and then jumping through all the 62 week period, everything happened to the letter, to the date, in a consecutive order, up to the 69 week, and then pause. Now, how come all of a sudden we had 483 consecutive years, and then the last week all of a sudden just drops off? What's going on during that time? I'm going to tell you. That is what we call the gap period or the church age. I already taught you in our initial lessons that even in Scripture, even in the same verse of Scripture, Isaiah 61, 1 and 2, we found out there can be a gap in prophecy unfolding. Jesus, in the book of Luke, read the book of Isaiah. He said, this day is this fulfilled. But he only read half the verse. So it teaches us there are gaps even in prophecy. So here we are. 483 consecutive weeks takes place. And then all of a sudden, we don't see the Antichrist showing up. He didn't come right away. So something stopped. Okay? The gap period of the church age is what's happening between the 69th and the last 70 weeks. Something's going on right here. Now, Daniel was not given privy to that information. And we will see that Paul said it was a mystery. All Daniel saw was the mountaintops, right? Well, if you've ever been to an actual mountain, it seems like they're right next to them when you're looking at them, but when you get close to it, those valleys are pretty big. So we are going to look more in this in detail as we continue our study, but as far as the church is concerned, this is very important to know where we come in as a church as it relates to this 490 period. We need to know there is referred to the gap period between the 69th and the 70th week as far as these events are unfolding. This period already, literally, right now, has already shown a minimum of 2,000 years of the gap. Well, the last 7 years have not yet been fulfilled yet. In which we also see this period, all of a sudden, who's on the scene during this period? The birth of the church took place after the Messiah was cut off, after the Messiah was rejected. The Lord said, I would have called you in like hens, but you rejected me. And what happened? He cried because he knew that in AD 70, Jerusalem would be destroyed. The Messiah was cut off, and the city had to be rebuilt. Daniel said that after the 62 weeks. After that. So something is happening. A gap period that the Lord put the pause button. This is why it's called the church age. We will see and study in Scripture that after the church is caught up, it allows the pause button to be pressed play again and go back to who he said this prophecy was for in the first place. That gap period is that period of time that God is still holding back his judgment as he deals with the Gentile people. And when he's done dealing with the Gentile people, remember, he's going back to Israel. He's going back to Jerusalem to deal with them. But there's a gap period, and that's very important for us to understand. And once we are caught up, Daniel's 7th week will begin signified the signing of the seven-year covenant with the Antichrist and the ruling powers of Israel, by default igniting the great tribulation. All right? Now, so let's talk about this real quick. The 69 weeks began with the decree to rebuild and to terminate at the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. So when the commandment went forth to rebuild Jerusalem, all the way up to Jesus being rejected in his triumphal entry in Jerusalem on the Sunday of the week of the Lord's death, in Luke, we find, "If thou hast known, even on this day," Jesus said. Jesus said to his people, "If you had known on this day," you know how much time period that was? That scholars, historians would tell you, it was 483 years later to the dot of when he said that the decree would go forth for Jerusalem to rebuild. Exactly consecutive 69 weeks, 483 years to the day. You can't tell me there's not a gap then if it was consecutive to the day. And there was no Antichrist that showed up on the scene right there. You cannot tell me that. Are you with me? Are you following me? So the accuracy of Daniel's prophecy is that he states that after 62 weeks shall the Messiah be cut off. That's in Daniel 9:23. Now, the final week. Daniel lets us know that the 69th week ended with the rejection of Jesus Christ by the Jewish people. After the 69 weeks, Jesus was cut off and Jerusalem was destroyed. Okay, look at verse 26 once again. "And after 62 weeks shall the Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, and the people of the prince that shall come destroy the city and the sanctuary." We are going to look at historical documents between A.D. 70 and 72. History, not the Bible. Go to a university and ask them what happened in Jerusalem in 70, 72. And first ask them, say, "Are you an atheist?" Let them say yes first. Once they say yes, say, "What happened in A.D. 70 to 72 in Jerusalem?" You know what I'm going to tell you? General Titus of the Roman Empire attacked Jerusalem and destroyed the city and its temple. Exactly what the Word of God said would happen after the Messiah was cut off. So sometime after, happened to be 33 some odd years later, that is that first prince that the Bible is talking about. This was the fulfillment of the verse in 26 that states, "And the people of the prince shall come destroy the city and the sanctuary." The ancient Roman Empire was responsible, and that then exposes them as the people that the Antichrist are going to rise from, because there's going to be the revised new old Roman Empire. And through that union, the Antichrist is going to come. Again, we're going to talk about all of these things. So the Antichrist timing. Daniel lets us know here that he has to come after the crucifixion and after the destruction of Jerusalem. The Antichrist cannot come until those previous things took place. When he does come, he will sign a seven-year peace covenant with Israel. And we will talk about this in more detail later. And then there will be a breaking of the covenant. 3.5 years into the agreement, 1,260 days. The covenant will be broken and the Jewish sacrifice will cease. It will stop. They are no longer able to give sacrifices anymore. And they say, "Wait a minute, I thought you were supposed to be..." And they realize, oops. That's a bad oops. That's a bad oops. It's a big bad oops. And he breaks the covenant. Now the Antichrist now comes and he sets himself up as God. He commits the abomination of desolation, and then he demands the worship of the Jews. Then they realize, oops, they've been deceived. So, timeline, and then we're going to wrap it up with this, and then we'll go into it next week, the rest. The first 7 weeks is 49-year period. Now watch this. Again, read your history books. The Bible stands alone. But if you want extra confirmation, then read extra biblical documents that are not biased. March 14, 44 B.C., Nehemiah received the decree to rebuild the city. How long did it take
to build the walls, 52 days, right? But the entire city and Jerusalem, and as well as the temple being rebuilt, took approximately 49 to 50 years. That's exactly what Daniel said. History would tell you that. Then the 49 years, the first seven, plus 62 years, which is 434 years, you add those two numbers together, you get your 483 years. April 33 A.D., Jesus was cut off 483 years exactly from the decree that Nehemiah received. And the church age began when the Holy Ghost came down in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. You know what the Lord said? Pause. There's more people I want to save. Israel, you hold on a second. There's some Gentiles that need to have access to this. And we're going to read about that when the times of the Gentiles is fulfilled, then I'll return back to my people. There has to be something that unlocks that door. I tell you, it's the rapture of the church. I tell you, that's when we are called up out of here so the Lord can deal with Israel finally. And once the rapture takes place, 70-week kicks in again because the covenant is signed. And then that begins the 70 weeks of tribulation. So, I close with this. Things we must know about that last week. The 70th week is the 7 years in duration and will begin after the rapture of the church has taken place. Again, I got to show you this scripturally. This is a summation. Starting with the signing of the covenant and will end at the return of Jesus Christ. Literally on the Mount of Olives, not in the sky. Not in the sky. Scripture tells us he has to physically touch the earth and part the Mount of Olives and what? Rescue Israel from the Antichrist. You follow me? Now, we are going to study Revelation from Revelation 6, chapter 6 through 19. We'll show in exact chronological order the events that are taking place in that 70th week. And I want to point in particular to you what's happening during that time. In the middle of that 3.5 year mark, the Antichrist will turn on the Jews, like I just talked about, and cause the sacrifices to cease. And the end of the final year period will bring to its close the series of the 70 weeks of Daniel's prophecy, and therefore usher in the great blessings that were promised to Israel according to Daniel 9 and verse 40 or 24. All right? So we are going to go deeper. That's the overview. If you have any questions, feel free to ask. Now, I may answer it later, but go right ahead. Okay. Okay. That's a good question. So the question was, once the church is raptured up, well, how long will the time period between the Antichrist showing up on the scene and allowing there to be a covenant sign, an agreement sign? Well, Scripture does not give that specific date and time. We have to know that, number one. But as far as the stage that is taking place, you can just think about it. If a lot of people have now been literally taken off the earth, there's going to be ensuing chaos. Right? There's already been talk in general already about having this world market. Unifying us. So could there be something that's triggering that says, okay, look at this. We cannot hesitate. We cannot procrastinate anymore. We need to come together as one world. And the empire has already been setting up, been staged, set up. And they are going to, we're going to study it. Out of that, they are going to raise up out of these horns. One horn is going to come to power. And everybody's going to be in agreement with that. Because the world is in chaos. And at that point in time, the Antichrist will step on the scene. The Jews are with him. The Jews are supporting him. The Jews are going to say, bring the signature. Let's go ahead. We want to go back to offering sacrifices once again. Yes. So right now, there's fighting right now. Right now, it's there. And that's not scriptural, that it's supposed to be there. Jews know that. So the Jews understand when this Antichrist shows up and he fixes that situation and he gives them the Temple Mount, the Jews are jumping on board 100%.
because nobody's been able to bring peace to that land. But the Antichrist will bring peace, and that's why it is such a magnificent thing, and that's why the Jews are so supportive, because nobody has been able to do this. But yet the Antichrist will have the ability to negotiate this peace treaty, and Israel will be a part of that. They are next door. No. See, that's the thing. You're speaking of present terms. That's what's happening right now. But when the Antichrist shows up, he's going to fix that problem and put the temple where it's supposed to be. The Jews go, that's right, sign it up. There's conflict right now because they cannot get Muslims out of the territory. The Antichrist is going to fix that problem. So that's why Israel's like, yeah. That guy's awesome. That makes sense? So all that's being set up right now. Okay? Again, that was the overview. Right? We're going to details. A lot more details coming, okay? You guys enjoying this? I am. All right, so we'll see you next Wednesday. We'll see you in a week. Yes.